Happy Sabbath, everybody. If you can kneel where you're at, please do so. We're going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the week that you gave us. I want to especially thank you for yesterday, letting everything go smoothly with that wedding and everything, and giving us the strength to stand firm and to keep your Sabbath. We had an opportunity to evangelize just by our actions. We hope hearts are cut. We pray as we come together that you bless our worship. Thank you for being here as your word says you are. Whenever two or more are gathered, you're there in their midst. And we understand, Father, that we can be gathered even globally thanks to the technology that you've blessed us with. Bridle my tongue and any tongue that may speak so that only your words come forth and only you are glorified. Forgive us for our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and thank you for that. And thank you for answering our prayers, spoken and unspoken requests. All those that are on our prayer list, we thank you for blessing them where they need to be blessed the most. Not necessarily what they want, but what they need. And we thank you for that. Thank you for blessing all those that help the ministry in the way that you promised you would bless them. And thank you for being faithful to your word. We also pray for all our loved ones that aren't saved, that you bring them to a saving knowledge of your Son before it's too late. And thank you for blessing us as we go into your word and the writings of your prophet. In Jesus' name, amen. Alrighty. We are still in, of course, last day events, page 20, or if you're on, put on F3 first, so that it's blue, yeah. We're in chapter 4, we're just starting chapter 4 today, about diet, health, and drugs. Do whatever one is this book. That one, yeah. And just go to number 4. We're starting there right on the top. That's where we're starting today. So, I want to welcome everybody that's here. We're probably not going to have that many people this week because some may be visiting with relatives on this holiday weekend. So, we pray that they're blessed wherever they may be. And for those of you that are new, welcome. And if you don't understand who Sister White is, or Ellen White, who wrote this book, Last Day Events, I hope that you do investigate who this woman is. So many people in today's world see no wrong in opening Bible commentaries that are written by Easton or Spurgeon or Matthew Henry or anybody, and they take their word for what they're saying. All we're asking is to open up the writings of Ellen White. She comments on just about every verse in the Bible. She comments on every book. And take a look at what she has to say, and then you will probably put down Matthew Henry and Spurgeon and all the rest when you find that she has the ability to open the Scriptures in ways that... And she points right back to the Scriptures like a true prophet does. If you don't consider her to be a prophet, stick around for a while and see some of the things that she said over 100 years ago that are coming true today. So, anyway, we're on letter 54, A, May 1884. Of course, this chapter deals with diet, health, and drugs. The sleeping car conductor spoke to the gentlemen in the seat with us, asking them to go to another car so we have the whole seat to ourselves. We are pleasantly situated. We are delayed. A box is heated. A fire smelling badly, but we are now started again. I shall endure the journey well, I think. And then May 9th comes, I guess. It's like a diary kind of a thing. Since writing the above, we have had some experience. I realized difficulty in breathing and was greatly annoyed by the effluvia of tobacco. But as I had crossed the continents from the Pacific to the Atlantic 19 times, I had found that on the northern route there could be secured in a sleeper every convenience without the annoyance of being obliged to inhale tobacco-poisoned air. Now, keep this in mind. before going further. She wrote this in 1884. Today's technology has just found out, what, 20 years ago, that tobacco is bad for you? I remember, Fran, you told me about how your mom was told, yeah, and your mother is a registered nurse back then, right? Oh, at that time? Well, she was in the Army? An Army nurse or something like that? Just in the Army, okay, whatever. And she wanted to lose weight, right? She was having nerve problems. Yeah, that's what it was. The doctor told her to start smoking cigarettes. This is an American Medical Association doctor said, start smoking cigarettes. It'll help you with your nerves. Help your nerves. And then now what has she got to this? She's got emphysema. She carries a tank around with her everywhere she goes, a little oxygen tank. She couldn't come to the wedding yesterday because of sickness. And she's up there. Praise the Lord, she's what? Same age as the Pope when he died, right? 83? She's 84. Okay, so she's a little older. But anyway, back then, over 100 years ago, Ellen White knew, because of the Holy Spirit being in tune with her, that tobacco smoke was poisoning the air that she's breathing. She's not smoking. She's talking about secondhand smoke here. Now, secondhand smoke, we just found out about, what, 5 years ago, technologically speaking? In other words, those of us that understand the truth and understand the dangers of certain things that are in nature, you know, how you shouldn't do this with that product, you should do this instead with that product, we as Christians understand the dangers. But what I'm talking about is the general population, like the American Medical Association, didn't know about the dangers of secondhand smoke. They did a long time, but they just started, you know, like enforcing recently. And that's why all of a sudden now you can't go into office buildings and stuff. They're all smoke-free environments now because of the dangers of secondhand smoke. They find this out in the year 2000, right? They started forcing it in the year 2000. And here this woman knows about this more than 100 years ago. Continuing, it says, once only was I grievously troubled. My husband and I were situated in the car opposite a gentleman, his wife and daughter. The gentleman was a steamboat inspector. He smoked in the cars. Others took lenity from him, and they smoked. We changed our seat for the smoke room, which could be closed. I thought we were safe, but I realized no relief. I used lemon freely, but felt the same strange emotion, and the tobacco poison air was the same as in any other part of the car. I was determined to endure it and lay down, but my head felt that I had a tight band was drawn around it. I was unable to think and soon went into a spasm. It was 1 hour before this was overcome, and I was relieved, but with a strange sensation of giddiness and weakness, which lasted me 3 months. Because nicotine has a tendency to raise your blood pressure and whatnot, get you, hyperactivity and that. The smoking steamboat inspector was told it was the tobacco smoke which had acted like poison upon me. He threw away his cigar, and we had no more smoking on the train. A physician on board stated that he feared it was to me a fatal poison and that I would never become conscious again. This is a doctor, yeah. I mean, these, that's why they call it practicing medicine. They're never getting it right. They just don't. And again, they never heal anybody. They only mask symptoms. If you want to be healed of cancer or AIDS or any other kind of strange diseases, do not go to the American Medical Association doctors. Just don't do it. And if you want proof that they can't heal you, check out some of the court cases, and especially in regards to a man named Hoxley, as well as other men that were sued by the AMA and lost. You know, the AMA loses all the time. I especially like Hoxley because some of my friends from Australia sent me some DVDs of some audios and videos about how, I think it was just audios about Hoxley, about how he was taken to court by the AMA to state that he shouldn't be peddling is quackery in the United States of America, because the American Medical Association was the only federally approved method of medicine, the pharmakia, as Revelation 17 calls it, sorcery. And this doctor used natural methods to heal people of cancer. In other words, people that were dying of cancer and had been told by the AMA doctors that you'd have 6 months or a year or 18 months to live, they would go to this man, Huxley, and he had like an 80 to 85% cure rate. The only reason he only had 80 to 85% because some of these people dragged their feet and didn't, it took a while for some other loved ones to convince them, go. But if they have gotten to a certain point where it's just beyond help, they're going to die anyway. And Huxley was taken to court. Hold on. We lost internet. Okay. All right, we're back. We had a little bit of an internet hiccup there. Knocked off our internet for a moment there. But anyway, as I was saying, they were taking this Huxley guy to court because he was healing people of cancer. I mean, they would have cancer. They had only a few months to live or whatever, and the doctor says, okay, you may as well say goodbye to your loved ones and whatnot. And Huxley would take them in, or they would come to him, and he would give them these natural healings, either externally or internally, and 80 to 85% of them were becoming 100% healed of cancer, mind you. This is back when cancer was completely incurable. It's like AIDS today, and AIDS, of course, there are methods to heal you of AIDS, too, has been proven. But don't say that to the AMA, because if you get healed, then they lose a customer. Anyway, they took Huxley to court, and the jury said, this man is healing people, the AMA is not. And so Huxley continued to practice, or to heal people. He wasn't practicing anything, he was healing people. They took him to court again, and they lost again. And so instead of bothering with going to court every 5 minutes, he decided to move his sanitarium or whatever it is that he had going into Mexico, where it's legal to use these kind of methods. It's against the law in the United States of America to actually heal people using natural methods. And everything from garlic to certain... garlic is right now on the slate to being the next thing that's going to be... You need a subscription to get it. So start growing this stuff in your backyards. Start growing it. You know, they put it on the counters and you can't get it anymore. Grow it. You're not going to be able to buy it unless you get a prescription pretty soon. Oh, yeah, or just buy garlic cloves. Yeah, just eat that. Just eat the clove. Yeah, it's my son Nicholas. He just throw the whole clove in. Just eat it. But anyway, or will they make garlic illegal? Well, no, people have it in their lunches and dinners and stuff and whatnot. But this is what amazes me about the United States of America, how, you know, if you can heal somebody, you're causing AMA to lose money, and so they hassle you. All right, continuing. When we were talking about where it says constantly tobacco-poisoned air, continuing from there, it says, notwithstanding, he warned the husband and father of the sure result. He thought there could have been no change in the man's habit, for the afflicted ones lived only a short time and were as very, verily poisoned to death as if a dose of arsenic or strychnine had been administered. Okay, I missed a point here. Okay, yeah, let's back it up to where the doctor said she would not become conscious again. It says, he told me never to consent to be in a room or in a car, carriage, or steamboats where I would be obliged to breathe the air poison by tobacco, for he had in his practice treated many cases of mothers and children with affliction of the heart caused by living in and inhaling constantly tobacco poison air. Notwithstanding, he warned the husband and the father of the sure result. He thought there could have been no change in the man's habit, for the afflicted ones lived only a short time and were as verily poisoned to death as if a dose of arsenic or strychnine had been administered. So, okay, he further stated that a very large share of these wives and children who die with heart disease are purely the result of living in an atmosphere that is charged with tobacco. So even back then, this is before, of course, the AMA came into power. This is a doctor talking back over 100 years ago. A lot of these doctors use natural methods. And then when the Vatican brought in their sorceries, which they call pharmacies or pharmakia, they started weeding out the real doctors and bringing in what they called real doctors. And then these fake doctors started getting names like naturopath or holistic healers or homeopathy or whatever. You know, there was putting them on the back burner. All right, I don't know what's going on. It's not my bandwidth, but I did turn off the CS computer just in case. We keep falling out. Continuing with this quote, he further stated that a very large share of these wives and children who die with heart disease are purely the result of living in an atmosphere that is charged with tobacco. Yours is, said he, a miraculous escape. the twitching of the muscles of the face, the rigidity of the muscles followed with great prostration, and relaxed muscles are the sure tokens of poison. The violent action of the heart followed a feeble, intermittent pulse. I have met it very many times, and it is the effect of tobacco poison. So let's stop there for a second. As I was saying before, this is a doctor that's talking back over 100 years ago, before the AMA moved in and brought in the Vatican sorceries, which are called pharmacies today. And slowly but surely, all the doctors, the real, you know, the real doctors that use natural methods, they were weeded out and they started giving names like I was saying. I don't know when the break happened, when we got booted or fell out, but these doctors were called, are now to this day called like naturopaths or holistic healers or homeopathy. They're into that kind of a thing. And then the AMA moved in and took over, and the federal government moved in and saw a big cash cow. So what they do is they make sure to make the money with the AMA and make it look like it's the only valid method of healing. You know, and they charge you unbelievable amounts. Somebody was just saying last night, I think Bilzer was talking about this last night, about they had some intravenous thing going on in the hospital. It was like $27,000. Whereas if you go to a holistic healer, it might cost you like $200. It's just natural methods, you know. And they heal you. You don't come back. You know, you literally don't have to come back for the same problem. You're healed of it. Gone. Whereas these other doctors, they charge you unbelievable amounts of money. Hundreds of thousands of dollars, and they kill you anyway. Or they don't heal you, and you slowly die 20 years later. Yeah. How much? Oh, yeah, Ricky. We just ran into Charlie yesterday at the wedding. He was saying about how our nephew, Richard, he's got ulcers. And now they've got him on some kind of a regimen that he has to take for a year for $300 a month. $300 a month. Yeah. It's a car payment. Yeah, that's what Charlie was saying. It's a car payment plus insurance. $300 a month. Where he could just go and there's all sorts of, I don't know the exact things that would help, but I know there are natural methods that probably cost less than $300 one time.
They have a tonic for it.
It's like a tonic. It's like $40 or something like that. Yeah. Nicholas had something like that, right? Like an ulcer. It's a homemade tonic, and it got rid of it. And it was free. Well, I mean, the stuff that you bought wasn't free.
I know. It
cost less than $20, right? Cabbage beets with a juicer, right? Yeah, cabbage and beets and stuff like that. We made a juicing drink, and he drank it two or three times, and the ulcer was gone.
Healed.
Yeah, and it has not come back. Okay? This, my friends that are listening, is one of the ways that our message will go forth in the last days, by the way. Sister White does talk about this, about somewhere in her writing. She talks about how we are going to be able to go forth and bring people to the saving knowledge of Christ and the truth about the Sabbath and you know, teach them who Antichrist is by using these natural methods. You know, because a lot of people are sick. I mean, what did Jesus do when he went from town to town to town? What did he do? He was healing people and preaching at the same time. And this is what we should do. And this, you know, like at this convocation that we're going to be doing late September is going to have... on Sunday, we have some people that are involved in our movement that are going to do a health message kind of thing on Sunday, as well as like recipes or something like that. And we're also going to be doing a prophecy thing for the community. So it's going to be pretty neat. Maybe we should just put on the banner, prophecy, facts, and natural methods for healing meeting or whatever, you know. Or we'll just mention the natural methods of healing, or, I don't know, we'll figure out something. Anyway, getting back. On this short trip, let's go back. Hundreds are falling victims to the plague of men's own creating, and then have to suffer the consequence of their own perverted habits. Of course, the tobacco thing. They sacrifice wife and children and themselves for an indulgence which is a curse to themselves and to all around them. On this short trip, I have suffered great pain in my heart and dullness of the head. I questioned whether it would be safe to lie down and attempt to sleep. I was very weary, but the drawing room openly directly into the car with the door was open was devoted to smoking. A party of Germans were on the car, and their habits are to smoke almost constantly. And we know, you know, that I've run into people like that too, you know, chain smokers. Constantly have that cigarette on their mouth. All right, continuous. As I spoke to the ticket conductor, he said he had no control whatever of the passengers of the sleeping cars. He could do nothing. If the passengers wanted to smoke, they would, and no one could control the matter. I spoke to the porter, asking him if there was no place in the so-called palace car where I would be free of tobacco poison air. He said he could not do anything. He was only a servant. I decided to try to solve the matter and went into my berth, drew the curtains as closely as possible about us, and opened the windows, and there was no smoking after they took their berths. I thought I might sleep. In the morning, I had a severe pain in my heart, and breathing was quite difficult. I had yet 10 hours. And by the way, stopping here again, this is over 100 years ago. This is before the cigars that these guys are smoking are becoming cigarettes of today, where the cigarettes have, I think, upwards of 3,000 carcinogens in them, and most of them are designed to cause addiction, as well as being cancerous and poisonous. And it's just ridiculous. It's almost as bad as that. Well, actually, it's a lot worse than the flu shot, where it actually has antifreeze in it and all those other strange chemicals in the flu shots. But it's amazing. All right, continuing. I mean, because back then, I mean, this was poisoning people, and these are just pure tobacco. Burning stuff. There's uses for tobacco, I would imagine, but not burning it and inhaling the fumes. All right, continuing, says, I had yet 10 hours on the cars. Close by our seats, the Germans began their devotion to offer up their morning sacrifice. I don't know if she's being comical here, but that kind of sounds, you know, when she's talking about the cigarettes. To whom? To the Creator or to the devil? I spoke to the conductor. He said he could not hinder them, but would speak to them in regard to it. He did, and they desisted from smoking in that locality. They went into the rear department in order to obtain correct information. I inquired of the sleeping car conductor. You know what? Why couldn't they just do that? Why couldn't they have, like, the sleeping cars in the front of the train and have, like, a smoking car at the back of the train? Because the smoke's going to get blown out the back of the train. It's not going to blow out over and go into every other car. It's every other cab. Continuing, she goes that he says that it is the custom to devote one end of the car to smoking. As the door is either left wide open or continually opening and shutting, the smoke was fully and thoroughly distributed through the car. I knew now what we had to hope for. Nothing but poisoned air to breathe the entire journey. I must bear it as best I could. Now let's do this other one here, and we'll finish with this next one. Luke, give me the highlighter. Bottom drawer.
Thank you.
We'll pick it up next week at letter 67, but I want to do 26A. So we still got about 2 or 3 minutes left. Just pick it up there next week. All right. In their practice, okay, this is letter 26A, March 2, 1889. It says, in their practice, the physicians should seek more and more to lessen the use of drugs instead of increasing it. You hear that? But it's the other way around today. They concentrate on the drugs. And you know, this is another thing that always boggles my mind when you watch the commercials. Try this drug, and then they have a long list of side effects. You know, it gets rid of, it'll help you in this problem. It won't get rid of it, of course. They never, ever, ever say that. And this is something that bothers me. They can't, by law, say they're healing anybody because they know they aren't. And so they can't say that. But yet the people that do use natural healing methods are, in fact, healing people, and they are, by law, restricted from saying that. And they are, by law, you know, like when you buy some of this stuff at the stores, you can't. I praise the Lord, we just got this book the other day that tells me what these herbs do that are growing in your own backyard. I'm seriously considering buying a bunch of flower pots, putting them in the basement, and get some grow plants. And of course, I won't grow any of the illegal things that are in the country at this point. I don't see anybody that I know that has glaucoma anyway but my mom. And I'm not, you know, going to give her marijuana to smoke to help her with her glaucoma. I imagine there's other, you know, like you could just grind it up and put it in pill form. But the problem therein, you try to grow marijuana, you're going to end up in jail, you know? That's the thing. Even though it can actually help people with glaucoma. All right. when Dr. A came to the health retreat, she said, or I'm sorry, she laid aside her knowledge and practice of hygiene and administered the little homeopathic homeopathic does for almost every ailment. The grammar seems messed up here. And administered the little homeopathic does for almost, I don't know, it just doesn't sound right. This was against the life God had given. Thus, our people who had been taught to avoid drugs in almost every form were receiving a different education. I was obliged to tell her that this practice of depending upon medicine, whether in large or small doses, okay, maybe that's what she said, dose, instead of does. And in other words, it said, and administered a little homeopathic dose for almost every other ailment. Almost every ailment. So it's not does, it's dose. I was obliged to tell her that this practice of depending upon medicine, whether in large or small doses, was not in accordance with the principles of health reform. If the principles of health reform are carried out, the work will indeed be as closely allied to that of the third angel's message as the hand is to the body. I just assume steer clear of the sorceries altogether, of course. I mean, I can't even think of any kind of a drug other than painkillers, perhaps, that have absolutely no side effects. Although, when I had those teeth pulled a few months ago, they gave me codeine, and I don't like taking it because you get nauseated. But I had to take them because I didn't know of any other method to use. So I did take them. And my side effect was I got itchy all over. Every 5 seconds, that's why, you know, you see people that are constantly itching, I'm wondering if they're taking codeine. You know, all over. I was just getting little bursts of itching all over the face, usually. Man, it was really weird. So I didn't take a lot of them. No. I mean, they gave you like 18 pills. I think I took 4. That was it. They just laid around here. All right, anyway, let's pick this up again next week. And I'm not saying it's okay to take codeine. I just didn't know any better because I don't know if there's anything that you could take to get rid of pain in a natural method. Massive pain like that, having teeth ripped out of your head, you know? If anybody knows of any method that works like codeine does, let me know and we'll try it. So I don't know if some of the drugs like painkillers are okay as long as you don't get that stuff, what is it, like Oxycontin and things like that? Or some of these weird drugs that people are forgetting that they're taking and then before you know it, they're dead. I mean, isn't codeine considered a lot of the natural properties in it at one point? They're just concentrated to some effect? I don't know. I really don't know. If anybody knows of a method that can get rid of massive pain like a toothache, because we never know. It might happen again in the future. If you know of something that works, email this ministry. And we will let others know. Because you have to admit, if there's nothing out, I mean, aloe vera works good for little burns and stuff like that. But I'm talking, you know, ripping the old bicuspid out of the head. Is there something that you can use? So that we don't have to rely on the sorceries of Rome in any way, shape, or form. All right, I guess we have a children's story. It's a two-parter. Two people are going to be doing it. It relates, so it's two little short stories together for the children. Are we going to sing first, or we sing first before we do the children's story? Is that what we always do? Keep forgetting that. I got to get used to how we're doing this now that we've been doing the children's story. I'll be back in a minute. I'm going to get a drink of water. Be right back.